got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess. The newly renovated Lara Sporting Club is now open. Book now. Direct from krock.com.au. The latest news. The latest fashion. This is what's trending.
I love reality TV.
Tim, you know, you and I love to keep up with the latest dating trends.
Yeah, what are these kids loving about, Jess? Ghosting is a dating trend.
Correct.
We've heard of. Zombieing.
Yes.
Which is where you like pretend to be gone. You come back and then you go.
Yep.
You come back.
Coming back from the dead.
What were the other ones?
Crumbing is when you give them, give them just enough
that they
keep them on the line.
What's the next one?
The latest one that people are talking about is ghost lighting. Right? It's exactly what you think it is, Tim. Ghost lighting is the person you're dating not only stops contacting you altogether, but then they turn up down the track and they deny that they ever ghosted you, making you question your own sanity.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Ghost lighting?
Yeah.
So it's gaslighting and ghosting combined.
Yes.
They had a baby.
So not only is it like bad enough that you're getting ghosted, like they've cut off all contact
right.
from you. Then they're like, oh, nah, actually want a piece of Tim again. They reach out to you and they're like, I never ghosted you. What are you talking about? We've been chatting for months. Don't be stupid.
So devastating. I've only recently figured out, like I've heard of gaslighting in the last couple of years. And
yeah.
then only maybe in the last couple of months, I was like, I figured out how to gaslight people.
Tim, you've known about gaslighting for ages. Don't pretend you don't know about it.
You did it
good. Oh, got him.
I mean.
It's devastating. I've been ghostlit before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Like,
not
just
good.
Haven't been contacted for... This is before I met my fiancé, obviously.
Or are you mid-ghost lighting?
No.
You just never know.
I was seeing a guy for a couple of months and then disappeared off the face of the planet. And then a few months later, he just like reached out and was like, hey. And I was like,
was good.
Where have you been?
Like, I never left.
We've been chatting for ages. What are you talking about? Yeah. What do you mean, mate? You haven't spoken to me for 3 months.
You were getting ghost lit before it was cool.
Yeah.
Classic Jess.
I know.
On the trends.
Always
I mean,
on the pulse, Tim. Super, always on the pulse.
The saddest pulse. There's not much life left in that pulse.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Jess, what an afternoon to get an incredible guest on that's doing big things in Australian television and cinema.
Has been very busy since we last had her on the show, Tim.
Yeah.
It's Chloe Hayden. Welcome to the show, Chloe.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Chloe, we know you're not in Inverleigh where you normally are. You're up in Sydney filming season 2 of Heartbreak High that was very, very popular the first season on Netflix. How's it all going, mate?
Oh, it's hectic and exciting and bizarre and like the biggest roller coaster ever, but it's one that I'm very, very excited to be on.
So last season of the show was the first one of the reiteration of the original series. Are we going even deeper in this
Ooh.
Season? What can you give us for a little bit of a spoiler for season 2?
Ooh, okay. I think this season you're going to see a lot more of each character. I think you're going to get a lot more in-depth, a lot more insight in who these people are and really filling out these whole complete human beings, which I think is really, really cool and is going to be super exciting.
Now, Chloe, the character you play, Quinny, an iconic character, a lot of people very happy with the representation of Quinny on Australian screens and doing big overseas as well. It must be really cool to be able to kind of explore within that neurodivergent character.
100%. It's really exciting and being able to fill her out even more this season and work with the most incredible creative team and consultants and writers and directors and producers and everything is, yeah, it's really incredible. I'm so lucky.
And with that role, congratulations
yeah.
are in order for an absolute massive Logie nomination for Outstanding New Talent, the Graham Kennedy Award. I mean, what is that feeling when you found out you were nominated?
So first of all, I thought it was a prank. I was on set and I got a text from the producer and she was like, oh my God, congratulations on the Logie nom. And my first thing was like, oh, this is like prank patrol. Like this is like a bit like
prank
a lie.
James
and then
Taylor's
after I, yeah. And then after I realized that it was like fake, that she wasn't fake. I was like, I said to the whole cast, I was like, guys, you've just all been nominated for a Logie. And then because I hadn't finished reading it, I didn't realize it was like not an ensemble award, that it was like a personal one.
Oh my God.
Then it was mad awkward because then I had to be like, sorry, guys, it was actually just me. But we've all been nominated for best drama, so that's good.
It is nice that both of you, like both the cast and yourself, have been nominated, because you can all celebrate on the night together, this means, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Being away from home, I know that you're a big fan of your horses in Inverleigh. How are you coping? We wanted to check in. I know you live out on a beautiful property with your family. Has it been hard being away from them?
100%. I am missing them so much. But like on day three of being up here, I smuggled my frogs across the border, which I probably
again, Chloe.
I didn't smuggle them the first time. The first time I brought them up here. So like the second time I smuggled them back across. But on day three, I was like, it's not enough. So me and my partner went to the RSPCA and adopted a three-legged rabbit. So.
And that's the most Chloe Hayden thing you're probably going to hear all afternoon. Chloe, I know that you're in the middle of filming Heartbreak High Season 2, but before we let you go, is there any indication of when it's going to be hitting our screens?
All I know is it's going to be out in 2024, which everyone's upset about, but it's actually not that far away now.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
Well, have the best time at the Logies. Good luck. I hope we see you up there and accepting an award. And I love watching you have a big speech on the big Logies night. And hopefully you take out most outstanding drama as well for the team.
Thanks so much. Whistling the way home,
listening to something. All you, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Now, Jess, I know we often bring dilemmas to DeMarcus Gatlin. He's the captain of the Hoop City Geelong United Supercats.
We mainly bring him dilemmas that are kind of somewhat hypothetical because people seem to be sending that in.
I love it.
We can only present to DeMarcus what we get.
I've got a hypothetical, and if you're listening, I want you to kind of play along to see if you would accept this. But
okay.
I feel like you'd be a great person to ask this to, Jess.
Hit me.
All right. You get $10 million right now.
Okay, I feel like DeMarcus is in the room.
Yeah, you get $10 million right now, but there's a catch. A snail is chasing you for the rest of your life, and if it touches you, you die a terrible death. The snail cannot be killed. It knows your location at all times, and its only purpose is to find you. Are you taking the money? So if you don't take the money, there's no murder snail out on the list.
Right, so
you.
I can't stamp the snail because as soon as it touches me, dead.
Yeah. You can't do anything to intervene with the snail. And obviously
I sick my boyfriend, my fiance Akshay, onto him. Just like,
no, he'll die too.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Just adding death onto this. I think $10 million isn't that much, and to live in fear for the rest of my life.
Because
a snail will find me. If a spider can find me in the middle of the night, so can a snail.
Because hypothetically, say like where you live in Bell Post Hill, right?
Bell Park.
Same thing.
Not the same.
I try my hardest. Don't have two suburbs next to each other with Bell and Park or Post in it. Okay.
They're very different places.
I just feel like close enough's good enough. And I'm sorry if you live there. That's how I feel.
Hurtful.
I don't know where you live. I'll be completely honest.
You've been to my house.
It was dark. There was a bell in the sign, I swear, when I turned off. Sorry. Yes. So say you live there.
Yes.
And then the snail has been, obviously the snail goes very slow.
Yes.
Say it eventually gets you. And then you're like, oh, I'm off to Queensland for 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
The snail didn't know that.
Yeah,
and then you've just avoided it. And then the snail's going to Queensland. And then you come back. He's like, oh,
snail's
I'm
not going
in
to Queensland.
Gundagai.
The snail will be waiting in my house for me with
no,
a
it's
tiny
always,
little pistol.
It's always on track to get you. So it's not setting up ruses to be like, this is how we'll get it. It just is always gunning for you.
Nah, still not taking the money. Not worth the risk. Who can be bothered?
You sleep a lot for...
I do.
Is this coming back to...
I'll be asleep on a plane and this little snail will be like...
Okay. Another hypothetical. Say you take the $10 million.
Uh-huh.
How soon is the snail getting you? Like within a week?
Within days. Days. This is what I mean. I'd forget about it. I'd be like, I'm a millionaire. Go out and buy a new car. Buy my Suzuki Grand Vitara that I've always wanted.
The dream.
And I'd be on my jet ski and the snail would be trailing me.
In its own little mini jet ski.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think we should bring this to DeMarcus on Friday?
I think that DeMarcus will probably take the money.
I think this is the only dilemma we need to bring him.
Yeah.
Because it requires a lot of as we've just discovered, a lot of thought to go into it. So it's
what,
a no.
You haven't told me what you would do.
Oh, mate, Snap can't catch me. If I don't even know where I am in Bell Park or Bell Post Hill, how's the snail going to know where I am?
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Tim, there's something so vulnerable about sitting down and making a list of goals.
Right.
Don't you think? Like, I used to have like a vision board back in the day.
No offense, but of course you
Thank
did.
You. And this, my biggest fear was people seeing my vision board.
Oh, like, really? I guess it's a super private thing.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't want them to know like what I aspire to.
How old were you when you had this vision board?
24.
Okay. Because I knew you when you were 24, so you kept that real quiet.
Yep. Wasn't going to tell you. You'd go looking for it.
Kick your door down. Where is it? Show me what you want in your life.
Well, a phone's been found at the ski fields, actually.
Like in Victorian ski fields?
Yeah. Hasn't been claimed just yet. But the screen saver for the phone, like the lock screen, was a list of this person's goals.
Like life goals, not just like weekly.
Life goals. Wow. I mean, it kind of makes sense to make it your like your lock screen so that you're seeing these goals all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, what can I do to make these goals happen? But I'm going to read through the goals.
Okay.
And I want you to kind of try and decipher the kind of human being that would have these goals as theirs.
So I see two things happening here. Worst case scenario, you're about to make fun of this individual.
I'm not making fun of anyone. Everyone's life goals are different, Tim.
Best case scenario, someone, this might be your phone or someone you know's phone and we can get it back to them. We don't have it, but we can say, hey, we're aware of your phone.
It was a list of 8 goals.
Yeah.
Tim.
Is it clear that if this is a man or a woman?
I believe it could be either.
Okay.
But I think based on the goals, I'm leaning towards it's a bloke.
All right.
Or a really, really cool chick.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, get jacked and be 87 kilos.
Good. Now you're stereotyping. That could be a man. That could be. You could want to get jacked.
I also want to get jacked and be 87 kilos. So.
Okay.
Number two, quit all nicotine.
That's good. That's nice. That's a good change.
Wholesome goal.
Right.
Three, have a $25,000 in my bank account.
Nice.
Yeah, that is a good goal to
have. That's a good amount of money.
Number four, have a motorbike.
Sick.
I feel like you're not going to be able to have the $25,000 in your account and the motorbike.
But isn't that, imagine if you had both.
Oh,
huge.
The dream. And this is why it's on the goals list.
You're down to 87 kilos. You're not smoking anymore.
Five, getting better at fighting.
Okay.
I don't know where this person is starting
right.
in their fighting journey, yep. but just getting better at it.
Okay.
Number six, get good marks at uni. So we've narrowed it down to a uni student.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my money was on Elon Musk.
Okay.
I thought this had to be his phone by the sounds of it. Okay.
Number seven, have 3 girls on the roster.
Nice. Nice.
Again, he's starting to sound a lot less wholesome.
It is. We are assuming that this is a man still. So.
And eight, this one's strange. Don't get a haircut for 3 months. Is it someone who wants
that.
To grow a mullet?
Yeah, that's someone, like I've tried that.
Right.
It's not a goal. I would say it's something that
Because I feel
I've
like
tried.
Your hair gets to a certain point where it gets...
It's the in-between.
You're like, it looks garbage right now. But if I wait just a few more weeks, I can do something with it.
Because you can go from kind of, let's go Brad Pitt in Fight Club to Lord Farquaad from Shrek to Matt Corby. But in between Brad Pitt and Matt Corby, you have to be that guy from Shrek with the weird haircut where you look like Mary Bobbins.
You mean Mary Poppins?
No, Bobbins is because they're the Bob.
Oh.
It's a character. Don't worry about it. I understand how you got there, how I got there. Yeah, look, I feel like that's a 10-year goal. Or a 5-year goal. That doesn't seem like a life goal to me.
I just think it's
maybe
interesting.
A yearly goal.
No one has yet to claim this phone.
Yep.
But what kind of individual do you think? Like, obviously, it's a uni student.
So, I've lost my phone. This is unrelated. If anyone knows where it is, that'll be fantastic. Give it back. I'd love to get to 87.
I think you have more chance of owning a motorbike than getting 25 grand in your account?
3 chicks on the rosters. You've misread that. I want 2 daughters.
Sure.
Plus my
wife. Sure. So, I thought you meant chickens.
No. All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
We're in the middle of season 2 of Hunted Australia. It came on our screens last week again on Channel 10 or 10 Play On Demand. You can catch it as well.
Yeah, I feel like in season 2, all of these contestants are even more savvy than season 1.
Yep, if you've never seen the show, essentially trying to evade the best of the best in the, I guess, police world, the ASIO world. If you can do it for 21 days, you win a lot of money.
Yeah, and I feel like they've spread out even more this year, Tim, than they were last year. To give us all the lowdown from the last couple of episodes, we have the lead investigator on the case, Tim, Graham Simpfendorfer.
Graham, thanks for coming back on the show. Happy hunting so far. Are you happy with where you're tracking in the season?
Yeah, hey, Tim and Jess, thanks for having me. Yeah, look, it's very frustrating this time around. I'm sure the Fugitives have learnt from season one, so they've got their tricks up their sleeve, but we've got many more left to play ourselves. So it's a little frustrating early in this game, but we've got a long way to go.
Last week when we spoke to you before the first episode of the season, we were asking specific questions because, you know, in the first season, a lot of contestants came to Geelong, Surf Coast, Bellarine Peninsula. We said, hey, is it going to happen again? It was confirmed pretty early on that Geelong, Surf Coast, Bellarine was pretty heavily featured. I think Port Arlington, Winchelsea,
Anarchy
as well. Why do people keep coming to Geelong for Hunted?
Well, why wouldn't you? What a great place to go to when you need to lay low. But that's what we've got to try and figure out is where and why these Fugitives are going to go. So what's their network and what's going to draw them to that area? That's what we're going to try and piece together.
Yeah. Graham, we saw you copped a little bit of heat last night on the episode.
I've got some audio. Jess, can I play this,
please.
This audio?
Please.
All right. Because we want to know if everything's okay in Hunted HQ. Here's a snippet from last night's episode.
I feel like I've got so much going on in my brain now, I don't even know if I'm wearing pants.
We want that feeling again. Funny, fuzzy feeling in my pants.
Graham.
A lot of chat about everyone's pants last night, Graham.
What is going on in there, mate?
Yeah, way too much talk about people's pants and what's happening below the desk, isn't it? I copped a fair bit of that. I think that was a really hectic day. I don't remember saying that. Obviously, a very hectic day, and it was a bit too much. I'm thinking, what's happening? Where are my pants? I found them, thank you.
Okay, that's good. Now, Graham, Jess and I have the luxury of, we've known you for a couple of years, and I'd consider us good mates. So we know how serious you've always taken your job as a former lead investigator for Victoria Police. You're definitely the most intense person on the show. Does anyone ever tell you to calm down while you're filming the show?
Yeah, I do get told I'm holding on a bit tight, so maybe that's the problem. But we treat that whole environment as serious. We're doing a job in catching fugitives, and that's what we've been asked to do. That's what they'll get. But yeah, I do get told a bit calm down a little bit, but it's hard not to take it personal because it's your reputation and your professional standing on the line.
Can you talk us through the controversy last night? A lot of people on on socials and everything calling this out as rigged.
Ooh.
One of the fugitives asked for help at a train station, right, Graham? And it just so happened they asked the wrong kind of person.
Yep.
Who was the person they asked?
Well, they've actually asked one of the ground hunter's brothers, would you believe? So
what are the chances?
I think you got better off chances of winning the Powerball than that. But I can honestly say I got smashed with the same thing last night on my phone, and this isn't real and it's rigged. And look, I'll put my entire police career on the line and say what happened that night, is it legitimate? We were blown away. It took us a good 10 minutes to try and actually get a head around that phone call and what took place, but it's all completely above board. It happened, and it does happen. I've had undercover operations in my policing career where you just can't make this stuff up, and they've asked the wrong person or they've given the wrong bit of information to the wrong person. So it does happen. It's very rare, and I think that the first time ever in Hunted across the world that something like that's happened. But for all the naysayers, I can put my hand on my heart, even if I'm in the witness box, I'll tell you that is completely legitimate, and we were just blown away. But
hilarious.
Yeah, you can't make it up. It's great.
I guess that's why there's so many movies and television shows about the police force, because of all the unbelievable stories and reality shows, and one of them being Hunted Australia, season two. We're right in the thick of it. Graham, one of the lead investigators, thank you so much. It's on again tonight.
7:30. If you want to catch up, 10 Play is where you need to grab all the other episodes.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.